Welcome back to Turnout on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton. Our first guest, David Lindo Reed, is originally from Kingston, Jamaica, and making his Toronto debut in Suzatska, which is now playing. David will complete his honors Bachelor of Music Theater performance from Sheridan College in April, with credits including assistant choreographer in Shrek the Musical and ensemble in Damn Yankees, Seaweed in Hairspray, Theater Under the Stars from Vancouver, and four seasons with the Jamaica Musical Theater Company. He joins us now live in studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. Now, you hail from Jamaica.
Yes.
Talk to us about what brought you to the place that you're at right now, because you have a pretty exciting career.
Yes. I've been singing all my life. My grandpa is a big tenor in Jamaica, and so I've always been musically inclined. And then when I was 16, that's when I did my first musical. The Jamaica Musical Theatre Company has a junior branch, so I did Beauty and the Beast for the first time. I was a 16-year-old playing Maurice, Belle's father, so an old man. And then that's when I discovered dance, and I was like, I didn't dance much in the show, but I remember watching all the rehearsals and I was like, why am I not doing that? So 2 years later, when I started university in Jamaica, I started dance classes with the company Dance Theater, which is one of the top companies in Jamaica, dance companies. And I just started rehearsing 3 to 4 days a week for 3 hours each day. And I completely fell in love with dance, and I knew that I had to incorporate that into my theater, which is why I fell even more in love with musical theater, because I now had all three aspects of it, the singing, the acting, and the dancing, which I really wanted to take part in. And then I researched Sheridan College, and I applied via video, and they accepted me, and then I came. They accepted me, so I was like, I can't pass it up, so I came.
And here you are.
And here I am.
Now, what areas are your focal point? What are your disciplines?
So it's singing, dancing, and acting. I have, over the past, well, since I started dancing, I've always liked choreographing, but as of the past 2 years, I really started to delve into the choreographic side of things, but I'm definitely singer dancer first. I think I sing better than I dance, but I think I love dance more.
And in the dance spectrum, where are you? Ballet?
Well, I trained in modern in Jamaica. I actually never took took a ballet class until I got here. And started ballet at Sheridan, because we took ballet, tap, and jazz at Sheridan as part of the curriculum. But modern is definitely my forte.
How have you found the difference, David, between the Jamaican culture of dance movement and what you've experienced here in Canada?
Well, what's interesting is that in Jamaica, the popular dance form is dance hall. At least for males, you wouldn't typically find, you know, a male boy, you know, going to ballet class or jazz class really from a younger age, not even so much at an older age as well, because of this stereotype. And it's a bit taboo, a male dancer who is not doing dance hall or something hip hop, because it's, you know, they're gonna think that the person is gay, and then that's a whole other issue in Jamaica by itself. But I didn't do much dance hall or hip hop. I fell in love with the modern style and the musical theater style of dance. So coming here, it was very interesting, you know, being in a school where there were a bunch of other males who grew up, you know, taking ballet and taking jazz and musical theater. So it was very, very comforting.
Right, and we actually did a focus on men and dance a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And that was a similar train of thought, that it was really comfortable knowing that I'm walking into a room with other males.
Yeah.
Training that is suited to you.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about some of that challenge, so to speak, the taboos. Today, as you know, we're talking about bridging that accessible gap dance, gap in dance. Has there ever been a time when you have found that dance has not been accessible to you?
Well, yes and no, because when I, coming here, my program is just has been completely busy, like, and we're in Oakville, which is a 40-minute, you know, train ride outside of Toronto. So with my own schedule, it's hard, but I've been staying in Toronto for a couple of weeks with this show because it's just easier transit. But like, I have other friends who are in the cast, and, you know, he'll say, oh, I'm going to this dance show, and he's been to like 3 dance shows in a week, and I'm like, what, where are you hearing this? I heard nothing about it. But he's one of those people who grew up, you know, he's a trained ballet dancer, so, you know, he's in the nose, like he's in the right position to, or in the right specific community to know about what's going on. For someone like me, who is, you know, not necessarily so much focused on straight dance, but in musical theater, where, you know, you have the other aspects of theater, just straight dance isn't something that has reached me from there. Like, I subscribe to the National Ballet, so I get the newsletter and I get like the ticket offers and such, but because I'm in Oakville, it's hard, especially as a student. You know, we have student debt, and most of us don't have that much money. So to take the GO train as well, that's like there and back, is transit alone is going to be just under $20 on top of the ticket, right? So when I think about how dance can be more accessible to people, especially students who aren't in the heart of downtown Toronto, you know, I think about, you know, the schools organize, or the dance companies reaching out to the schools and, you know, organizing maybe a trip for the dancers to come and perform at the school. Like, most art schools will have, you know, a theater or some form of performance space. So I think it would be very useful and nice if the schools or the dance companies could reach out to each other. You know, the school could probably pay for a bus to bring the dancers there, and they can, you know, modify whatever they need to modify for the stage at the school. I've done a couple tours with my Kingston Dance Company, where we've gone to a university in Miami, and it was just one day in Miami, and we spent the entire day at the school, and we modified our dances to their stage because it was kind of smaller than what we were used to, but we were able to bring our dance style or cultural style of, you know, kind of Afro-modern movement as well as straight modern movement to a school that isn't so exposed to Jamaican styled modern dance.
Right.
So that was lovely for me to bring. So if, you know, if other dance companies here could do that and come to the schools, because there are a lot of art schools around the place, not only in the heart of the of Toronto. So there are a lot of there's a lot of art students who would be very, very interested in that, I think.
Now talk to us about Suzetska. Where is it playing, and tell us about your role as an ensemble member?
Okay, so Suzetska is playing at the Elgin Theatre. We run until April 9th. I am in the ensemble. I am one of the core dancers in the show, so I dance a lot, and I also sing a lot and act in the scenes. Our choreographer is Graziella Danielle. She is a multiple Tony Award nominee. She's choreographed things like Ragtime and Once on This Island, The Visit. She directed Annie Get Your Gun. You know, like, she's incredible. I look up to her a lot. It's funny because I learn about her in school and I fell in love with her, and then all of a sudden I'm working with her every day for 3 months.
Right.
So the style of dance in the show that I do mostly is South African traditional Zulu dance, which is a bit different from what I'm used to, because I'm used to West African style, which is different.
In what way?
I would say West African dance is typically a little more, how to describe it? Or rather, I should say the South African Zulu is very, very more heavy and grounded.
Into the floor.
Into the floor, more so in the West African dances. And obviously, it's still grounded, but I would say the Zulu dance is definitely a lot more grounded. And part of the thing that I love is that we have some South African representatives who are working on the show and give, you know, live feedback about, you know, how it's being done. Because Graziella, obviously, she's an Argentinian woman. So she, you know, she's done a lot of research to make sure that her choreography is authentic, you know, which I admire a lot. And that's what I feel like any choreographer should do. So she's done a lot of research on her own. You know, she met with someone from Alvin Ailey who teaches South African dance. And so she really went in and made sure that her choreography is authentic. And we have the South African people, you know, in rehearsals who will look at it and say, yep, that's it, or no, tweak that. So it's been a really, really great experience in that.
Now, we're almost out of time, but mm-hmm. before we do go,
yes.
What do you think audience members should know about Suzatska? Because this is a brand new musical.
It is.
It is never been seen before, based on the original novel, Madame Suzatska, by Bernice Rubens, mm-hmm. the book by Craig Lucas.
Yeah.
What should individuals know before going to see the show?
I think the best thing I would say is to come with an open mind, because that's what the show encourages of people. You know, you have two different worlds. You have the Black South African and you have, you know, the white British, and also you have, you know, it deals with the Jews and the Holocaust, and it's all about different people coming together and refugees coming together and accepting one another. So I would just say, come with an open mind to and allow art to heal and allow art to teach.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us on the show today, David.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
That was David Lindo Reed, who will be making an appearance in Suzatska. Opening night is tomorrow, Thursday, at Elgin Theater. For more information, please visit our website at turnoutradio.com. We're going to be right back after this break. Thank you.
Dance artists use a huge array of interesting, useful, and sometimes bizarre gadgets to get their job done. Each week, we highlight a new tool, some kind of gizmo that attracts our curiosity.
Welcome back to Turnout on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and back with me is my guest host for today, Sean Byfield.
Good to see you again.
Well, good to see you too. Now, Sean, we're going to be talking about our amazing gadget, which is the Bunheads Anti-Inflammatory Gel. Have you ever used this?
I have not used this.
Okay, well, the Bunheads Anti-Inflammatory Gel, which only costs probably about $18.40 per bottle, is a pure base of Hawaiian seaweeds, water, and willow bark extract. The minerals and essential oils used in this gel are specifically targeted to relieve the aches of the abused and overused joints and muscles of a dancer like you and I. But the good thing is that anyone really can use these.
Exactly. And one thing I really love about this is that it's a natural product.
Right. Now, it's natural, and the good thing, too, is that, you know, sometimes individuals have to apply either topically, et cetera. Sometimes people don't like the smell on their fingers. This actually smells pretty good because of the natural content.
Exactly. And something about the you know, it's called the Bunheads Anti-Inflammatory Gel, but I don't think it's just for bunheads.
No.
You know, I think, you know who's going to love this the most? Tap
Who?
Dancers.
Okay.
Because we got some mashed up feet, right? So this is going to be something that's useful, well, not just for bunheads, but for tap dancers, for all forms of dancers as well.
Right. Agreed. And it's a 4-ounce bottle. Little bit of a small bottle, some would say, but the great thing is that, again, it's anti-inflammatory treatment for aches and sprains, combined with basil, melissa, and it comes, the gel becomes this like powerful cure for the muscle and joint pain that we endure every day. So again, $18.40. Bunheads Anti-Inflammatory Gel, Sean.
Perfect.
If you are looking for more information on this particular product, visit dancesupplies.com. Or, of course, you can visit our website where we will have that information uploaded to our website. Normally within about a week, we'll put it up there for you. So this has been our gadget segment. You're listening to Turnout on CIUT 89.5 FM.
What's up?
I know some stuff about Steve's that you might not know.
Yeah? Well, I know Steve's is on Queen.
Yes, it is. But did you know all the sales staff are gigging and performing artists?
Wow, man.
Also, you get 10 free Steve's picks per month for a year with any guitar purchase.
That's like 100 and,
And you get a free guitar setup within 3 months of a new guitar purchase.
Really? That's like 4 large pizzas.
Okay.
I know something about Steve's that you don't.
Oh, yeah?
The carpet's older than you are.
415 Queen West, stagemusic.com.
Hey, Sane.
Hey, what's up?
I know some stuff about Steve's that you might not know.
Yeah? Well, I know Steve's is on Queen.
Yes, it is. But did you know all the sales staff are gigging and performing artists?
Wow, man.
Also, you get 10 free Steve's picks per month for a year with any guitar purchase.
That's like 100 and,
And you get a free guitar setup within 3 months of a new guitar purchase.
Really? That's like 4 large pizzas.
Okay.
I know something about Steve's that you don't.
Oh, yeah?
The carpet's older than you are.
415 Queen West, stagemusic.com.
Tell me what it's all about. got no back in my bone. Sometimes I feel like my woman ought to leave me alone. Hug and kiss my woman, kinda twist my hip, yeah. Then I do the hustle until my backbone slip. You know what I had? I got so and super bad. Let it all hang out like garbage. Then you know, yeah, what it's all about. Chicanos, when you, when you. Now
to turn out on CIUT 89.5 FM. Whether through his own dancing, his choreography, or his entrepreneurial character, Luca Lazy Legs Patuelli has become a leader for both dancers and people living with special needs. On top of his busy schedule, Lazy Legs also co-founded RAD Movement, formerly known as Project RAD, an inclusive urban dance program for youth with disabilities. Luca joins us now live. Welcome to Turnout.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you for having me.
So, Luca, with the extraordinary career that you have, can you start by telling us how you started in the dance field?
So, as a child, I was always an extremely active boy, and any activity that I saw my friends participate in, I would always try to participate with them in my own way. And before discovering my passion through dance, skateboarding was my true passion, and I would skate on my knees, and I would do tricks just like any other skater, but just on the ground, on the knees. And after having a surgery on my knees, I could no longer skate anymore. And around that same time, I had a friend who was had just started breakdancing, and he introduced me to it. I fell in love with it, and that's how Lazy Legs was born. And basically, I find, specifically with breaking and hip-hop culture, a lot of it is about discovering your own style and being unique by it being different to strength. So the fact that I have crutches, the fact that I was born with a disability, but I started doing movement that was different than the average dancer, it started getting a little bit more of a tension within the dance world, and I started creating this unique style using my arm strength and my crutches as an extension of my arms.
Right, and because you have been using them as an extension of your arms, what have been, Luca, some of the, and we're going to get right into it because, your career is so extraordinary. What are some of the challenges that you have faced along the career, along your path, specifically in dance movement?
So in the beginning, I find that with breaking, there's a lot of movement where you need to your legs. And so a lot of the base and the foundation is something called footwork and the six steps. So if you're ever to take a dance class, one of the first the moves that your teacher is going to teach you is this six step where you get down on the ground and your legs move six different steps around your body. I physically cannot do those steps because I don't have the strength in my legs to be able to do that. However, I've been able to adapt myself by creating movement that's been inspired by the movement that my friends do with their legs, but using my arms instead, using crutches. There's a lot of different movements in terms of just the dancing. I have to kind of break down the way I move and my balance because I don't have the strength to hold myself up. So I'm using my arms to hold myself up, and I let go for a couple seconds, and I can balance standing up, but then eventually my knees will drop, so I have to catch back with my crutches. And at the same time, this type of movement has created this unique style where it's kind of like, is he going to fall? Is he going to stay up? Is he going to be strong? Is he going to drop? Like, and so I think it's created this suspense in terms of the way that I move that audiences have appreciated. And eventually I've gotten also more comfortable with my body to understand how my body can move with my crutches, without my crutches, and with the music, more importantly.
Now, you've also created Ill Abilities, the international b-boy crew that is said to have been comprised of some of the world's best differently abled dancers. Talk to us about Ill Abilities.
So Ill Abilities, back in 2007, so from 2004 up until 2008, I used to be extremely competitive, and I would travel a little bit all over the world competing in some of the biggest competitions. And throughout my journeys around the world, I had met these other dancers who happened to be differently abled but were also high-level dancers as myself. And I decided to create this super crew, and I decided to put everyone together and start doing performances together as this super crew of ill-able dancers. And the word ill abilities is really a play on words, because in hip-hop, what's bad is good. So when you see something you like, you say, yo, that's bad, but that actually means it's really good. Ill, which literally means sick, in the hip-hop world, it means amazing and incredible. And so it's really kind of this play on words in the sense that my goal is to really replace the word disability with ill-ability and just remind society that we all have amazing abilities, that we are all incredible.
And having said that, today, of course, we're talking about bridging the accessible dance gap. And so, Luca, do you consider dance to be accessible?
Yes and no. It's a conversation that's been had for many years now. I would say that dance is accessible in the space that I think that there's a lot of room to make it accessible. There's a lot of opportunities in terms of just the creation process and in terms of creativity and what we can do for people that have different disabilities. And like, the idea is that, for me, I believe the littlest movement makes the greatest difference in performance. And so it can definitely be an accessible activity. The biggest challenge, I would say, would be finding venues that are accessible to host people with disabilities in on stage, backstage, dance studios. When we started Ill Abilities, one of our missions was we would organize this event called No Limits, and we wanted to basically retransform the nightclub experience but make it accessible. So we would find venues that had professional lighting, had a stage, and had to get DJs, but if they weren't accessible, then we would come in and bring in ramps to make sure that people in wheelchairs could come in. We also made sure that it was an all-ages event to make sure that families and kids can actually experience this beautiful culture, because to me, I believe within hip-hop and within breaking, it's really such a positive environment, and sometimes the media makes it look like it's really negative or makes it look like it's an intimidating culture. But once you get to go inside and really experience it, it's one of the most positive experiences that someone can appreciate and enjoy. So go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Please go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, so like one of the challenges is really the accessibility in terms of, like, there are opportunities, there are spaces that people with disabilities can practice dance, but then when it comes to actually performing it live, there are limited venues. Often a theater might be accessible, however, it's accessible for seating. They never thought about the backstage purposes. It's like, oh yeah, the mentality in theaters don't recognize that there's people that with disabilities that might have to perform on the stage. There are more and more theaters slowly coming out with accessibility that are accessible. But you know, I think in each major city you can probably count those theaters with one hand. So so the idea is just to try to open up that gap in terms of how can we make theaters more accessible, how can we make performance spaces and even just dance studios more accessible. You know, like, we started the dance program RAD initially with the idea that we would collaborate with regular dance studios that have absolutely nothing to do with disabilities, and we would provide the ramps, make the doors wider, and train the dance professionals in that studio to understand how to work with people with special needs. Because not only would the space not be accessible, but often we found that dance teachers really had just no clue how to work with people with special needs. So what we did was really just train them and said, you know, if you ever have someone with special needs, this is how you can work with them. These are the types of movements that you can encourage them to do. And the whole idea was to try to create this whole social inclusive program. That way, when kids that have special needs or disabilities walked into a dance studio or came into a dance studio, they were treated just like any other dancer in that studio.
And we're just about out of time, but your story is an exciting one, Luca. And one of the things that I must ask you is, what message would you give, because we are talking about that question, how do we make it accessible? What message would you leave with us in terms of how to do that?
I have this global message, the idea of no excuses, no limits. And I actually believe that anything is possible as long as we create the possibilities and find ways and different solutions on how to do certain things. So whatever limitation might come to play before saying no or before stopping yourself, let's take a look and let's try to see if we can work with different people to try to make it happen, you know. In terms of accessibility, it's really it's a global issue. It's not just here in Canada. It's something that affects people all around the world. So rather than being upset about it, let's try to see if we can work with people to, like, one by one, to be able to improve the situation and make dance more accessible and just in general dance, show the world that everyone can dance.
And I know that you've got a lot coming up. Can you give us just a little taste of what that is and where individuals can find out more about you?
Absolutely. So my website is noexcusesnolimits.com or lazylegs.com. I do have a lot going on these next couple of months, but I will be involved with the Tangled Arts Festival in Toronto this spring. I also, here in Montreal, have the Défi Sportif and a lot of just different school performances. I do motivational speaking and motivational entertainment programs in schools, and I have a couple dance programs currently that are in the run right now, where we, at the end of the session, we do a big performance in front of the whole school, and parents and teachers get involved to support the kids that were a part of this program. So those are just some little things. And then on the international end, this June I'll be in Norway, Germany, and Toronto with Ill Abilities Crew. So there'll be a little bit more information on my social media page at Luca Lazy Legs Patuelli, where people can follow what's going on.
Excellent. Well, so, thank you for joining us on the show, Luca.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. And we hope to have you back at some point in the future to talk more about Ill Abilities and all of the work that you are doing. Thanks again for joining
us. Thank you so much, Nicole. Have a great day.
You as well. That was Luca Lazy Legs Patuelli here on Turnout. We're going to take a quick break and be right back on CIUT 89.5 FM.
And welcome back to Turnout on 89.5 FM. You're listening to Sean Byfield, and we are very, very fortunate to have our next guest. To many, his name alone is all that you need. Three-time Tony Award winner Hinton Battle is recognized as one of Broadway's most respected musical stars. He's been dazzling audiences across the country and around the world for over three decades, starring in some of the most memorable musicals, including Dancin', Dreamgirls, Sophisticated Ladies, Chicago, Ragtime, Miss Saigon, and The Tap Dance Kid. He is a legendary and influential singer, choreographer, writer, director, and the recipient of numerous awards, including the NAACP Image Award, Fred Astaire Award, and so many more. Mr. Hinton Battle, welcome to Turnout.
Thank you, Sean. I mean, I'm going to have to take you with me. If you can give me introductions like that, wow, thanks, man.
Hey, well, honestly, it's such a treat and a pleasure to have you joining us this morning. What city are you in right now?
I am actually in Washington, D.C. for a few more hours, and I'm headed to New York.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you taking the time out this morning. We're going to have some fun for the next few minutes and get right into it. So when did you realize you wanted to be an entertainer?
Ooh, I guess I kind of always knew but didn't know. Like, you know, I used to always sing around the house. I was the first one, like, come on, let's put on a talent show or let's make the family sit down and watch me and my two brothers, you know, sing a song or something or lip sync a song. So I guess I was kind of, it was always there. I just didn't realize it. And then started training and, you know, kind of happened. So that was cool.
Wonderful. And I believe you studied under George Balanchine as a child, right? How did that experience shape you as a dancer?
I think it was the most intense and best training I've had. I think my foundation was from Jones Haywood in Washington, D.C., but then I think I really excelled as a dancer and a performer and an artist when I went to School of American Ballet under George Balanchine. It's a very good school, and the competition is extremely competitive, healthy competitive. But, you know, I think you, at that time when you're taking two and three classes a day, you really get to focus and excel.
Right. And do you remember your very first gig?
Oh, yeah. My very first gig on Broadway was The Wiz. I was the Scarecrow in The Wiz. I was 15 years old. Yep.
Amazing. And I love the fact that you were the Scarecrow, and Michael Jackson actually played the Scarecrow in the film production. Did you get to work with Michael?
I didn't work with him, but we met a few times and talked about the role, and he came to see the show quite a few times. And but yeah, that was it. But I've never had the opportunity to work with them other than our encounter on The Wiz.
It was such a wonderful honor to have him pretty much portraying you,
God,
right?
Yeah. He pretty much shut down the theater when he walked in. I mean, it's like nobody could do anything because Michael Jackson was in the house. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was great.
That's wonderful. And hey, they say there's 6 degrees of separation between everyone, and I did the math. There's actually between you and I one degree of separation. Are you ready for this?
What?
Yep. Gregory Hines.
Oh yeah.
Gregory Hines was the reason I got into this dance world and started performing.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Do you have any Gregory experiences that you want to share with us?
Oh God. Well, we did Sophisticated Ladies together. Incredible talent, great guy. You know, he always loved to kiss you in the mouth, which I wasn't ready for that yet. Pretty warm, really funny, and just talented, man. I mean, to be on the stage with him, and, you know, it was great because the energy and the sparks would just go berserk. So, you know, we both dancing together, so really enjoyed it.
Right.
Really enjoyed working with this man.
Right, and that was in the musical. Start,
great loss, yeah.
That was in Sophisticated Ladies. You worked with him, correct?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Now, you have such a reputation. You've done so much work. You've been in The Wiz, Miss Saigon, Sophisticated Ladies. You are a veteran of this field, and you've received so many awards, and you're such an accomplished film and television actor as well. So where do you feel most comfortable? Do you lean towards more the stage or the screen?
You know, they're all so different. I mean, the disciplines, and they're very different. I enjoy all of them. I think the hardest of them is live stage. I mean, there is no retakes, there is no do-over, there is no stop, I need to catch my breath. I mean, that is the most hardest of all of the disciplines. But I do enjoy all of it, you know, recording, all of it. Television is a different medium, and film is